In 1784, Thomas Jefferson struck a deal with one of his slaves, 19-year-old James Hemings. The founding father was traveling to Paris and wanted to bring James along for a particular purpose, to master the art of French cooking. In exchange for James's cooperation, Jefferson would grant his freedom. Thus began one of the strangest partnerships in U.S. history. As James apprenticed under a master French chef, Jefferson studied the cultivation of French crops, especially grapes for winemaking, so they might be replicated in American agriculture. The two men return home with such marvels as pasta, French fries, champagne, macaroni and cheese, and of course, creme brulee. Author Thomas Crawell tells the story in his book, Thomas Jefferson's Creme Brulee, How a Founding Father and His Slave, James Hemings, Introduced French Cuisine to America. Thomas, thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for the invitation.
How did you come upon the story?
I had been reading a biography of Jefferson, and it mentioned in passing that he had brought Hemings along to France and had him trained as a French chef, and I'd never heard of that before. And I have a friend, a publisher at Quirk Books in Philadelphia, and he said, you know, if you ever find any quirky American history stories, I'll let us know. And I started digging around and found that there was no book on this, but there was an awful lot of material. And so here we are.
What was it about this particular type of cooking that lured Jefferson in, that he was a fan of?
Well, you know, American cooking in the 18th century was kind of dull. It was pretty much one note. Spices were too expensive for most people to afford, even for somebody as wealthy as Jefferson. You know, he couldn't really have it around the house all the time. There was also a tendency to look for something easy, so boiling and stewing was very popular. Jefferson had a pretty sophisticated palate. He was really interested in food. And we're not sure if he ever had any French dishes in the United States. There really were no French chefs. But it seems that, and this is so Jeffersonian, he read about it. And it sounded like something he would enjoy. And, of course, once he got to France, he just went gaga. So he decided he had to have this at Monticello.
What was it about James Hemings in particular that he saw a possibility of him learning how to cook this cuisine?
We're not sure, but he must have had shown some facility in the kitchen, because, you know, you wouldn't take to France and go to all the expense of having him trained as a chef somebody who couldn't boil an egg. Most of all the cooking on plantations were done by black women, by slave women. But there were men in the kitchen who were usually butchering or doing some of the heavy lifting or keeping an eye on stew pots or something. It's possible, even likely, that James was one of the young men working in the kitchen under the supervision of women cooks. So, and it turned out that, yeah, he really did have a gift. He became an accomplished French chef.
Give us an idea of how the trip came about, of how the two men set off for Paris.
Well, Congress had appointed Benjamin Franklin ambassador to France, and then had appointed two commerce diplomats, in other words, to try to make trade arrangements so that our goods could be sold in France. And one of them was John Jay, and the other was John Adams. John Jay wanted to come home. Congress decided, well, we can't just have one commerce minister over there, so they sent Jefferson over. And this is wonderful because, you know, Jefferson, Adams, and Franklin were the triumvirate that essentially produced and got through Congress the Declaration of Independence. So they were old pals. And then, you know, Jefferson, even before he had bought his ticket or started packing, he had this inspiration to bring James Hemings along and get himself a French chef.
As you write about in the book, Jefferson's eating habits were very interesting. They were quite adventurous.
They were. He was tackling things that nobody in the United States would have gone near. For example, he was eating tomatoes and growing tomatoes at Monticello at a time when almost all Americans considered tomatoes to be poisonous. He gets to France, he dives right into truffles, which, you know, are rooted up by the snouts of hogs. Americans wouldn't have done that. And then he had some initially unpleasant experiences. Americans never had had sparkling wine. All of our wine was flat or still. He gets to the Champagne region. He has his first glass of champagne. He doesn't know what to do with it. This is such an unexpected sensation that he writes in his notebook, "Wine not good." But he got over it. He acquired a taste for champagne, discovered that he really couldn't live without it. One of the tragedies of his life was the War of 1812, when he couldn't get wine from France anymore.
The title of the book is Thomas Jefferson's Creme Brulee, and how much of the recipe that you found and discovered is what we think of creme brulee today?
Exactly the same. Mm. Absolutely exactly the same. He brought, but we don't know how many recipes he brought back. About half a dozen survive in James Hemings' own handwriting, which is interesting. Slaves were not supposed to be able to read and write, but James apparently was an exception. The Jefferson family preserved about 150 recipes. A bunch of them we can tell came from France, but the rest are more what they would call plantation fare. So in terms of the creme brulee recipe, it's right on the money.
You include about a dozen in the book. You mentioned champagne. French fries, also something that we never really think of having an origin in France.
But they did. The title, the name of the recipe, when you translate it out of the French, which is very long, is potatoes cut into small pieces and fried. Well, that's a French fry.
And again, very similar to what we would recognize as a French fry today?
Oh, yeah, probably. We don't have any photographs, obviously, but it's likely that, you know, that was the shape, because it is really easy to cook when it's in that shape.
Give us, once he moved back, once that James Hemings returned, what was his work then? Pretty much to see that the diet regularly contained what he learned in France?
Pretty much. There was a little bit of a snag. I think James had expected that once they got back to Monticello and he trained a fellow slave in French cuisine, Jefferson would free him. But when Jefferson got back, George Washington had appointed him Secretary of State. So they were not going right back to Monticello. They were going to go to New York, and which was the U.S. capital then. And Jefferson decided, well, I've got to have a first-rate chef if I'm going to be a member of the cabinet. And so he put off James's manumission for 5 years. And in fact, I suspect that James must have complained about year four, because I found a contract between Jefferson and James in which Jefferson agrees to a specific date of when he's going to release him. And Jefferson is, pardon the expression, a little pissy in the contract, because he actually mentions that he went to great expense to have James trained, and here, you know, this ungrateful slave is demanding that he keep his side of the bargain. But he did. A year later, he let James go.
Do we know if he ever utilized that knowledge and those techniques anywhere else after his
feeling? Oh, yeah. He worked in a couple of hotels, or restaurants, rather. He came back to Monticello one summer. Jefferson, when he was president, used to take the whole summer off, and he would go back to Monticello. I would love to see a president try and do that now. And while he was there, James returned and cooked for him. And he was working at an inn in Baltimore towards the end of his life. So, yeah, James apparently was able to keep his skills going for quite some time.
Well, the name of the book is Thomas Jefferson's Creme Brulee, How a Founding Father and His Slave James Hemings Introduced French Cuisine to America. The book is published by Quirk, and you can find out more information by going to quirkbooks.com. Thomas Crowell, I thank you very much for spending time with us. Best of luck with the book.
Thanks so much. It was my pleasure.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much. Again, the name of the book, Thomas Jefferson's Creme Brulee, How a Founding Father and a Slave Introduced French Food to America. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.